Welcome to Gentler, a podcast all about self-care, positive habit building, and my journey through adulthood. I'm Maya Fleming, your host, and I am so excited to have you here. Let's get into this week's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gentler. I'm Maya, and I am so excited to be here recording this episode. Today, we're talking about lifestyle inflation. So if you are someone who is finding yourself creeping up with your cost of living, then make sure you keep listening. First, we're going to do some pluses and deltas. This week is interesting because the plus is the delta. And what I mean is it's a positive thing that is definitely going to require and inspire some change on my part and some routines and systems and all that. But let me get into it. It's not even like official. And I hate to even say it like this, but the next thing that would make it official is primarily a formality, I'm hoping. But if history continues, and it will be, but if for some reason it doesn't work out and it falls through, I will simply get back on this microphone and say such, and everything will be okay. The world will not end. But as of now, I am going to be working as the cheerleading coach at my high school, or at my school. I'll be doing junior high and senior high. I'm still going to be an elementary teacher, but going to be coaching with the high school girls. And I'm excited. I used to cheer at this school, and I just have a lot of, I've always really enjoyed performing and working in some type of performance, and I've always really love cheerleading. I feel like when done right with all the other unnecessary things, if you were a cheerleader, then really I feel like if you did any like activity, like team activity or sport in high school, then you know, like drama and all that kind of stuff. And I know that's going to be part of it naturally, but I'm excited to like really kind of rebuild the program and put my spin on things and make an impact in my community and have fun doing it. So as of now, super excited. With that, though, there's going to be a ton of changes. I'm going to be a lot busier than I normally was, like driving to games and practices and camps and getting additional training and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to be teaching dance anymore next year because I just can't balance the two with teaching and doing Gentler. So I'm going to be sad to let that go, but excited for what it will bring in. But I'm going to have to be really on top of my routines and systems and all that kind of stuff. Like, the schedule that I set is going to have to be the schedule I set. I have to have some boundaries with myself if I'm going to make all of this work and stay afloat. So I'm a little nervous, to be honest, but mostly excited. Like, just really, like, excited to see how it pans out and what comes out of it. I can't wait to start tryouts and see the girls and start putting together routines and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun, I'm hoping. Maybe those will be my famous last words, but we will see. But yeah, so that is the plus/delta for this week. And let's go ahead and get into the episode. So we're talking about lifestyle inflation. And if you aren't familiar with lifestyle inflation or lifestyle creep, it's this phenomenon that happens when people start making a little bit more money. Their standard of living kind of increases. And a lot of the things that maybe felt like luxuries before feel more like necessities. And so over time, you have just raised your cost of living and your standard of living. And what happens for a lot of people is they find themselves still kind of stuck in that paycheck to paycheck cycle, even though they're making a lot more money, because as their income rose, so did their expenses. So how do we elevate our life without sinking, I guess? You know, like, how do we afford those luxuries and welcome them as a regular part of our lives without just losing track of our spending and ending back up at square one? That's what we're going to talk about. And I have some tips because I've been working on this for a little while. At this point, I'm making more money in my career than I ever have. And I'm not rich by any means, but I am making a lot more money. And so my life looks a little bit different than it did like 2 years ago, and especially upon graduating college when I started Gentler. And some of that is due to just really intentional decisions I made on where I wanted my money to go and where I did not want it to go. For some background, I'm someone who grew up pretty low income, like public assistance, all that kind of stuff. And I had in my head, like, I had these really bad spending habits when I first started making money because I went so long without and, you know, not having the nicest things or not having the name brand clothes and all that. And I just felt like if I had to be the one to hand over the food stamps card all throughout high school to the cashier at the grocery store, then I deserve to have this nice thing or the skincare from Sephora, even if I really didn't need it. And so I found myself never having money, but having all these things. And then at some points, not having the things either, because I couldn't replace them, because again, I didn't have any money, or having credit card bills that I couldn't really remember racking up because I just was spending impulsively and unintentionally. So that's what I want to help you avoid. And that's what I'm working to avoid myself. And I feel like I've gotten some strategies down that have really helped me nail it. So I'm excited to share. But first, I would say the biggest thing from the start is planning early and having sinking funds. So I've talked about sinking funds before, but in case you're unfamiliar, if you've forgotten, a sinking fund is essentially an account or a place you keep money for things that happen regularly, but maybe not on a monthly basis. So it's not something that you have to pay for every month. It's not being pulled from your account every month, but you know it's coming. And so you have money set aside for that so that you're not, when the expense actually arrives, you're not paying for it like completely out of pocket, like one-time purchase. So for me, I have sinking funds for like dog stuff, car maintenance, and I think my other one right now is like beauty, like makeup, like hygiene stuff, because I'm not re-upping on products every single month unless I want to try something new. But like on my regular like lineup, I'm not going through it once a month, so I don't have to spend stuff once a month, but I know at some point I'm gonna have to replace things. And so I have a separate fund where I just put aside some money. So the way I determine that, like with the dogs, and this isn't like an emergency fund, by the way. So with the dogs, this isn't necessarily where I keep money in case one of them swallows something weird and needs surgery or something. That's going to be in my emergency fund. This is for regular expenses like vaccinations, food, like grooming, that kind of stuff. Things that are like normal routine care things, but we don't do it every single month, maybe. So what I do, I sat down, I thought about like, okay, how often is this stuff happening? So most of the time I'm not buying dog food every month. I get, when it's at the store, I get the really big bag. So it is usually more like 6 weeks that I'm getting dog food, unless that bag isn't in stock and I have to get the smaller one, which I hate because I feel like it throws off my balance and my routine with the sinking fund. But I'm not getting food every month. They're not really getting groomed every month. It's more like a 6 week frequency, and then vaccinations or maybe like once or maybe twice a year, depending on the shot. So things that I know are coming, but they're not happening all the time. So I tallied up how much money that was going to be. Did the same thing with my makeup and skincare. How much am I spending when I do all this, like in one cycle? How much is it? And then I figured out like what the span is for this stuff. So for makeup and all that, I usually, for a lot of stuff, can go like, well, let's just do it theoretical, because I don't want to go on a tangent of like how long it takes me to use a tube of mascara. But let's say it takes you like 3 months to go through like, I don't know, toothpaste and face wash. I don't know if that's an accurate or even realistic depiction, but let's say it takes you 3 months. But when you're getting all, like if you were to re-up on all of your skincare stuff, it would be $150. So every 3 months you're paying $150. And if you were to just pay for it just out of pocket, that $150 might kind of hurt a little bit. Like maybe you'd be able to handle it and it wouldn't be an issue. But if it's coming just out of, I would hate for that to come out of my regular shopping budget. That's $150 I can't spend at Sephora or using towards going to dinner or on a trip or something. So what I do instead is I divide the time frame by the amount. So $150 divided by 3 months, or like roughly something like that. And then I get $50. So every month, every 3 months, I am putting, well, every month for 3 months, I guess, I'm putting $50 into another account. And then I'm building up that balance so that when it is time to purchase all those things, I can just do it from that instead of it all coming from my regular budget. And then that's not hurt. I still have my regular spending power, and I have my stuff, you know. And you can do this for like Christmas and like gift things too. If you know like you have six friends who all have birthdays and who all will be expecting a gift, and you want to spend like $100, $200 on each gift or whatever your amount is, like how much you need to be putting aside every month so that when it comes like time for Susie's birthday party, you're not having to drop $200 and your car also broke down and you have to pay your credit card bill and your insurance is due and all that kind of stuff. Any bills that you pay annually or over the course of multiple months, then that would be a great strategy for that too. And that way, like maybe you upgraded your car, but you don't want to have to pay upwards of $1,000 between your note and gas and insurance and all that. So you have a sinking fund where you're putting a little bit aside each month so that when those payments are due, it's not coming straight from your regular spending money. So sinking funds and planning ahead, like for trips and stuff, and just saving a little bit along the way has been really, really helpful in lifestyle inflation. That way, on the month to month, my expenses don't go up a huge amount. Maybe $50 here or $100 here, but it's not like, okay, I'm buying $500 plane tickets every month, and I am somehow like being overdrawn each month because of that. Planning early and setting aside money along the way will go a long way. Next thing, and this one's really key too, just being honest with yourself. And here's the thing. A lot of the messaging we get from marketing materials and a lot of things we tell ourselves, get this idea, my stomach growled super loudly. I'm hoping you guys didn't hear that, but the microphone's kind of pointed at my stomach. But a lot of the messaging is you need this thing. It will transform your life. You know, 9 times out of 10, it won't. You know, it's just nothing that you buy will be magic. So you've really got to still work for whatever vision of success you have through this item. So you have to make sure that the purchase will have space to work. You know, if you are, let's say like you want to get all your groceries from Whole Foods because or that like fancy grocery store in LA, because that's where it seems like all the cool and healthy people are shopping. If you aren't even like cooking for yourself on a regular basis, then maybe that's not the right time to introduce that lifestyle upgrade right now. Like maybe getting one or two pieces of produce that they don't have at your regular grocery store would be a better fit. But you don't need that. You know, it's not going to make you, it's not going to usher in all these new habits and behaviors. You might be inspired for a week or two, but it's not going to just completely change your outlook on fitness and healthy eating or anything like that. It's just going to raise your grocery bill. And then over time, you're going to ask yourself, like, where did all my money go? And realize that ever since you started shopping at Whole Foods for all your groceries, things just started going downhill. And I'm not trying to like put like a negative spin on anyone's like new habits or upgrades or anything, but that's stuff to think about. Ask yourself if you really need it. And then once you come to the conclusion that you don't, even if you still do it, you have deprioritized this purchase in a way that's going to be helpful regardless. Getting away from this idea that we can buy things that will transform our lives and just really make things like easy and change everything for us takes away some of the pressure and eventually disappointment that we have when those things don't work. And then it ushers in a new mindset of strategy and thinking, okay, well, how do I bring about this change that I'm trying to do? So making sure that you give yourself space. You don't need a bunch of workout equipment if you're not even working out at all right now. Which brings me to the next thing, earn the upgrade. Like if you can find a way to make yourself prove it's a necessity, then it can be a reward for yourself. So maybe you've been looking at, I don't know, a Peloton, subscription. Is there one at the gym in your apartment? My workplace used to have them in the gym at my work. Like, can you dedicate a month or 3 months or maybe even a year to using it consistently, making sure that it's something that you really want in your life? And then at the end of that, saying, okay, I know that this is a habit I have that I can continue to fine tune and be consistent with. So now I'm ready to go ahead and elevate it, upgrade myself, and go ahead and get the Peloton bike or whatever that thing is. Maybe I've been cooking at home consistently for 6 months. I've been ready to try new recipes, but maybe my local grocery store doesn't have spaghetti squash, and I really want to try out a lot of things with that. So Whole Foods is the next best option, or whatever. Whatever that thing is, I've been driving consistently and keeping a clean record and going from point A to point B, but my AC isn't working and it broke down the other day, so I'm ready to have a note that is going to stretch my budget a little bit, but I think I've earned it. And you don't have to be like in the absolute pits with a purchase before you decide to upgrade it, but you know what I'm saying? Like you have found and realized and giving yourself proof and evidence of the fact that this is something that you are consistent with and it's here to stay, and now you're ready for that upgrade. So whatever that thing may be, find a way to earn it. The next thing I would say is find a downgrade if available. And this doesn't have to be like a lesser version. It can be, sometimes it is, but it could be as simple as splitting Netflix with someone else because you wanted the higher package with 4K and like four screens and you can download a whole bunch of media. But maybe you didn't want to pay the full amount every month. If you're not even going to be, you know, utilizing all 20 downloads or whatever the case may be. Sometimes these examples like have me really stuck, but so maybe you could go in with a friend and do that instead. Or maybe the downgrade really is like a quote unquote lesser version. I was really set on getting my nails done when the school year started. I was making regular money. I was like, I can afford to make this a regular part of my life. But the thing was, I was never really satisfied with my nails. And I think as long as I didn't feel fully satisfied with insecure with the money I was spending, I was never going to feel fully satisfied with the product. Now, there were like issues with the product for sure. But I just kept in the back of my mind looking at these nails that were like badly shaped and sloppily polished and thinking that $75 could have gone to like a savings account or the trip I have planned or Christmas gifts, anything. So what I ended up doing was getting into press-ons because I hate painting my own nails. It was never going to be that. I hate sitting there. I hate doing it. I'm not coordinated with my left hand. Then you have to sit there and wait for it to dry, and it feels like it takes like 3 days for that to happen. So I found press-ons that kind of had more of the look that I wanted whenever I went to the nail salon, and were much cheaper than the alternative, which for me was to go and get my nails done. I don't know like what the market is for, like what the prices and all that look like for press-ons typically, but mine are probably a little bit more on the like more expensive side of that, but it's still way, way cheaper than having to go and get them done. So for me, it's a downgrade and one that I welcome with open arms. So I'm able to kind of still have the look and feel of having well-maintained hands and nails without feeling my budget or seeing my budget extend itself so far, especially when I wasn't satisfied with the end result anyways. So that has been a big thing, but looking, downgrades are available all over. Like you can just sit down and try to get creative as much as you can. You know, do you need to, I really have been doing this big, well, not big, but I've been like eating out every Friday because it's kind of like my like treat yourself moment. Do you have to go to the fanciest restaurant every time? Can you sometimes do takeout at home where maybe it's a little bit more expensive than cooking dinner, but it's not like you're not getting like two or three drinks and appetizers and all that kind of stuff. Can you switch out one of those reward things for a lesser version of it that's still like a heightened experience for you? Things like that. Just think, you have to think outside of the box with some of them. It's not going to be a cut and dry, like, okay, no more of this, I'm doing this instead, but just try to find ways that you can kind of get creative. I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to. And then the biggest thing that I do that makes me, no matter what, feel proud of my spending, secure in my spending, no matter what the situation is, like I mentioned on Instagram years ago when I first started working, my whole makeup and skincare lineup was from the aisles of CVS or Walmart, maybe Target if I was feeling a little bougie. But now like everything's from Sephora or some other high-end place, and I'm seeing ways in which my life is definitely elevating and becoming more expensive as a result. But no matter what, I feel okay with that because at the end of the day, every single month I am doing two things, and that's saving to my emergency fund. And I know a lot of people will have varying amounts for what should be in an emergency fund. For me, I really dove in there and I was like, what's the worst thing that could happen to me right now? And what amount of money would make that problem go away? Like, if my house burned down and everything I own, what would be the immediate, like, what would be the money, financial number that I needed to cover that? And I don't, so like I use a modified version of like Dave Ramsey's baby steps. I'm not a Dave Ramsey fan, but I do find the baby steps to be helpful. So I do a modified version of that, with saving and then going into debt repayment and all that, which brings me to the second thing I do, which is putting money towards slash saving for a long-term goal. So for me, that's buying a house. So I'm not necessarily saving for a down payment right now so much as I am clearing away debt so that my credit score can rise and I can be in a better position for pre-approval and then like credit. Like if I did buy a house and right after I take the dogs to the vet and go on vacation, my pipes burst or whatever. I don't really know how much things cost when it comes to a house, so I'm still in my research phase for sure. But things like that. So to recap, every month I save towards the emergency fund and I put money towards that long-term goal so that my life feels like it has substance. I am treating myself every month. I am spending money. I have a package outside the door almost every day. Sometimes it's embarrassing. But at the end of the day, I am putting money towards the things that are going to make me really, really proud of my life and what I've created for myself, because at the end of the day, the long term is what matters most to me. And I don't want to be surrounded by a ton of stuff and an overdrawn account and nothing to show for all the hard work I do every month. I work my butt off as a teacher trying to inspire change and educate the next generation or whatever. And so I deserve to have those things that are going to be really lasting, and that's what I remind myself. And so that requires me to make choices and create boundaries with myself. And one of those boundaries where you can be a Sephora Rogue member and become one and embarrass only a quick amount of time. But in order for that to happen, you have to put $500, $1,000 every month towards this other stuff to take care of yourself in the long term, so that if something did happen, you're not just surrounded by AirPod Maxes and Estee Lauder Foundation. Like, you actually have something, like some footing that you can get out on. And so that has been what is working for me. Maybe not something that a financial expert would agree with, or, you know, whatever. And that's okay. You know, I definitely could be saving more. I think anyone could be saving more. I see people all the time, like, I live on 20% of my income and I save the rest. And like, yeah, that's fine. But like, at what cost? You know, if you're able to live a life that you feel happy with on 20% of your income, look, kudos to you. I personally am not, so I don't do that. But I do save and I do make sure to invest and put money towards the things that I want to see happen in my life in the future. Also want, like, to add, like, my employer also, I'm required to put money aside for retirement, so that's taken care of. Just with teaching in Arkansas in general. So my long-term needs are being met, as well as those short-term spurts and things that I feel like I need. But, you know, clearly, like I said before, 90% of the time do not. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it was helpful to you, and I hope it was encouraging and maybe even a little empowering if you feel like you're someone who wants nice things, but don't necessarily know like where to draw the line with those boundaries with yourself. Hopefully this was helpful. Send it to someone, a friend that's also trying to upgrade their life. And if you enjoyed it, please rate and review it. And I can't wait to talk to you all again soon. Bye.